Blog Talk Radio.
What up, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. It is Friday Eve, everyone. Big plans for the weekend, ready to do a bunch of stuff. Get ready for Friday. No, we're not. We're still locked down. So, we know that's not happening. But we do have some sports to talk about. It looked like NASCAR is coming back. They're going to race. No fans in attendance, but they're going to be racing over at Darlington. That's happening. The Chiefs pick up the fifth-year option on Patrick Mahomes. It's just a matter of time before he breaks the bank. We know that. And Andy Dalton is officially being cut by the Cincinnati Bengals. So it is Joe Burrow's job. There will be no, I wonder if he's going to sit. I wonder if he's got to earn this spot. It's his. Believe me, there's no one that's going to compete now with the Cincinnati Bengals. At 110, we're looking to have the one, the only Stephen Hunter. Played 10 years, 10 seasons in the NBA. Played for the Suns, Sixers, Nuggets, Magic, and the Grizzlies. A number one draft choice. Have him on. He's a Chicagoan. So we're going to talk this last dance, and we're going to talk a lot of things in basketball and talk kind of what his thoughts are on the NBA and where they are right now. We'll do all that. Though, like I said, that's scheduled for 110. But as for right now, we are brought to you by the one, the only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at Alma School and Chandler Heights. 4991 South Alma School, to be exact. Get down there and let them know PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of your cigar purchase. Good time to have a stick. There's nothing else to do. If you get down there, let them know I sent you. Like I said, it's 10% off your cigar. Or you can give a call, 480-620-7599. Have your sticks ready. They can bring them out for you. You can't. They're still... You know, a stay home in terms of businesses and retail. So you can't go in, but they can come out to you. Now, if you can't get there physically, you can always go to Stogie World, S-T-O-A-G-I-E, world.com, and it can get shipped out to you. So either way, you can enjoy a fine cigar from Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Welcome to the Cave Show. This is PLR. And this morning, the news dropped that Andy Dalton would be cut from the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't think this was a surprise. I think a lot is being said. See, here's the one thing. I listen to a lot of gas bags. One, there's nothing else to do. And two, you always like know what's being said out there. You listen to a lot of different shows, a lot of different personalities. You read a lot of different articles by a lot of different people. There's some gas bags out there, and they're... They say something like, oh, well, so-and-so, give them a year and cut them. Give them 3 years. If they haven't done it in 3 years, let them go. And I find it fascinating a lot of times that guys – now, you could call me a blowhard if you want. You could say, well, dude, you've never played in the NFL. And I could take that and say, okay, fine. But it always gets me when guys that never really could play in the NFL. They were never very good. But they're telling everybody else what they need to do and how they should do and what – going on how good they are and how they can improve here and how they can improve there. When if you knew that's what it took, why weren't you that good? But anyway, I'm digressing. So basically, I guess my point is, we have all these guys saying, you know, Dalton's been there too long. I agree. Cincinnati gave them 9 years. But then they start getting into, you know, the Marcus Mariotas, the Jameis Winstons, and other guys that they're like, you know, well, they just have to move on from. They have to get to better. Mediocre wasn't good enough. I completely understand that. But here's my question. There are 32 teams in the National Football League. There are not 32 great quarterbacks out there. I'm sure if the Raiders or Tampa Bay, and before Brady, obviously, or Tampa Bay or Cincinnati or Tennessee, if those teams could have gone out and gotten a Patrick Mahomes, a Drew Brees, a Tom Brady, could have gotten them? I know how important the quarterback position is, but doesn't it get old when we know there's only X amount of elite quarterbacks in the NFL? And I think it's kind of funny when we start naming the true elite quarterbacks, the Patrick Mahomes. Look, let me give them to you again. Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Brees are the first five that come to my mind. Only one is over 36. Only one is not over 36 years of age. So you think teams are just out here saying, oh, okay, well, we'll just roll with these guys. And let's be honest about even the names of the ones that I gave to you. Drew Brees can no longer throw a deep ball consistently. Ben Roethlisberger is coming off of an injury that ended his entire year. Tom Brady is 43 years old, left the comfort of New England, is now playing in Tampa Bay. So let's see how that goes. Aaron Rodgers, they just drafted their quarterback of the future in Green Bay. And a lot of people think that, you know, that's within the next 2 years, that's it for Aaron Rodgers as a Packer. So when we start to think about these things, are some of these young quarterbacks going to be quote-unquote elite just because the old guys are being phased out? Now, Patrick Mahomes, we know that guy's an alien. We know Deshaun Watson is on the cusp of being that special. But when we look at the rest of the NFL and look at some of the other teams, and we look at some of the other quarterbacks that are out there right now, what other team has a quarterback? Now, I don't want to use the word serviceable, but I just quickly go through this. I'm looking at every team, and the MVP is the Jackson kid from Baltimore. But a lot of folks are saying after his playoffs, he's not elite yet. He just had a great season. And when you keep looking all the way through this list, where is elite? Where really is elite left? Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot one. That's under 35. Russell Wilson. So I'm giving you six quarterbacks out of 32 teams with only two being under 35. That's it. So when you're hearing these blowhards talk about, oh, well, you know, you just gotta go get a real quarterback. You know, this guy isn't good enough. This guy isn't good enough. These guys don't grow on trees. Maybe teams should do a better job developing guys. Maybe teams should do a better job of getting people around these guys so they can be, quote unquote, elite. Aaron Rodgers didn't come in the league elite. He came in the league and sat. They called Russell Wilson a game manager. Big Ben wasn't allowed to really throw a ball in football in Pittsburgh because they were a running team. Drew Brees was moved from the then San Diego Chargers, and he drafted Phillip Rivers. Patrick Mahomes sat a year behind Alex Smith. No one came into the league elite, ready to just take over in whatever situation, because I guarantee you, if you were an early number one pick, you didn't go to a team that had any talent anyway. Otherwise, you wouldn't have come into a bad team. The only guy I've seen come out recently and do that would have been Andrew Luck, that turned the team around really quick, that had talent, just didn't have a quarterback. We'll get into that a little bit more. But like I said, I think it's funny that we have all these guys that were terrible at their position, and then they tell the other guys what they need to do to get better or why they can't make it. I just find it funny. Anyway, I got my man here, Stephen Hunter. He's coming on with us. We're going to talk some hoops, and we're going to talk some Last Dance, and we're going to let everyone know once and for all, the mecca of basketball isn't New York. The mecca of basketball is Chicago. We're going to do that in exactly 15 seconds.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
On the Kerry Lackey Law Line right now, NBA vet, 10 years in the game, the one, the only, the Paul Blue Demon as well, Steve Hunter. Steve, what's up, bro? Welcome.
Hey, what up, Paul? Thanks for having me, man. How are you?
You know what, bro? I really appreciate you. I can text you no matter what, no matter when. Try to get your perspective, and no matter what, you're always like, I'm good, let's do it. So I appreciate that very much.
Anytime, man. You know I got to take care of Chi-Town. Always.
Hey, that's how we roll, right?
Yes, sir. That's how we roll.
So I'm just going to get right to the hard knocks, not no nonsense. I'm watching The Last Dance. I know you're watching The Last Dance. You remember those times just like I do. How cool was it to be in the city when that was going on with the Bulls and Jordan and Pippen and all that?
Oh, man, it was everything, Paul. Everything. Like, when I tell you those are some of the best days of my life, watching the Bulls each and every game from game one to game 82 to all the playoffs to the championships, to going to parades, man, it was just, you know, every kid that grew up in the 90s aspires to be like Jordan or Scottie. You know, and it's just wonderful experience bringing us back to those times. It's refreshing. You know, we get up close and look at Jordan because, you know, he's never been, you know, very public like that. So now we're seeing behind the scenes of how he interacts with his teammates and coaches and things of that nature. Man, it's I look forward to it every Sunday, Paul. It's definitely a breath of fresh air, man. Love it. Love it.
I know, I saw a friend of mine the other day. He said, did you let your kids watch it? I said, it's mandatory. It's not let them watch it. It's mandatory watching. And I said, I didn't even play around. We watched the uncut. That way they can know exactly what Mike was thinking. I'm like, I let it slide. I told my wife, we got to let them watch the uncut. But how – I know, you know, there's this battle every time, and I always say this. Every time I mention Mike and the GOAT, I get 1,000 text messages talking about how he's not. And I get – I'm past that, but you played in the NBA. How good was Mike? Like, what made him so special from everybody that played in the NBA at that time?
Number one, his knowledge of the game. I was drafted in 2001, and I actually trained with him in Chicago when he was getting ready for his comeback. It was invite only. We trained with Tim Grover. Guys like, you know, definitely all the Chicago guys were there, and then he had other pros come. But, man, just his knowledge of the game, first and foremost. He knows every position on the floor. He knows plays before they happen. He's a basketball genius, okay? And number two is just his competitiveness. I mean, he's one of the most win-or-die guys you would ever meet in your life. He's absolutely obsessed with the game of basketball, and I think that's what made him the best. And again, I got drafted in 2001, so I trained with him in the summer in Chicago, and I got a chance to play against him when he was with the Wizards. I mean, listen, at 40 years old, the guy was so smart, he was still dropping 50 on cats. At 40 years old, you know, 39, 40 years old, still dropping 50 on cats. The game he played against us, he had maybe 40. I know it was definitely over 30. And the guy could barely jump 2-3 inches off the ground at that time. You know what I mean? It was all smart, positioning, fadeaways, you know, being in the right spot. It's crazy, man. We'll never see another guy like Michael Jordan.
You know, I heard you say the one word, competitiveness. And obviously, you have to be competitive to get to the NBA. There's no one that's playing right now that's not competitive. But when I'm watching these old tapes and I'm listening to him and I'm listening to Magic, you know, what he said, and Larry and what he said, and some of the old guys, the NBA just seemed tougher then. And I don't mean tougher to play. I mean the guys seemed tougher. What happened to that?
Man, you know, contracts are bigger. You know, guys are getting paid before they even earn their stripes. You know, guys used to have to scrap and scrape their way to get minutes. You know, now it's everything is soft. It's kind of a given. You know, it was just a tougher game, man. You know, everybody was hungry. We didn't have the huge contracts like we do today, and we didn't have guys getting paid without even proving themselves like they do today. You know, you're not even you got some guys not even superstars. You know, getting paid $40 million a year now. They're not even superstars. You know, back in the day, it was just one or two guys. It was mandatory that the Michael Jordans or the Kobe Bryants, LeBron was the highest paid. Now, what we got, 4, 5, 6 guys making $40 million a year now? I mean, what sense does that make? And then we're giving, you know, second, third-year players such as Devin Booker, you know, very good player, guy's 21 years old, signed for $160 million. Now, are we sure that he's going to even try to reach his full potential when you give a 21-year-old guy that amount of money? So just the hunger is different. You know, kids, they have a sense of entitlement. You know, it's just softer. You know, it's very offensive based. And I actually see it all the way down to the club level. You know, kids are just different these days.
I'm the Kerry Lackey Law Line, Game Show TLR, one the only Stephen Hunters. Steve, you know what? When you said that, it made me think of something. My team that I coach at this league said, one of the guys said, everyone just tries to break ankles. And he said, and I said, well, you know what? I think that makes absolutely no sense. I said, you know, back in the old days, when you got your ankle broken, it's because someone really had skill, because it's hard to break someone's ankle when they're hand checking you and when they have their elbow on your side and picking you up full court. I said, so to be honest with you, they're like, well, coach, you never get impressed when we break ankles. I said, because no one's playing defense. So, no, I don't get impressed by ankle breakers. And they looked at me like I was 100 years old. But you couldn't break ankles back in the day because guys were up on you. I mean, or am I missing that? Was that they played defense?
They played defense back then. And if you didn't play defense, you wasn't going to play. You know, we had guys, Chicago Bulls, for instance, they had guys like Ron Harper in the starting lineup, not for his offense, but for his defense. Now, if you can't shoot, be a three-point shooting guard, you're not going to play that much. You know, it's all about scoring these days. And, man, it's just different. It's just different. I'm not saying it's worse, but it's just different. And I think that guys back then had a better chance for, you know, longevity. They were more well-rounded than a lot of these kids today.
So I'm watching The Last Dance, and the episode with Scotty and the contract. I know no one ever gets in another man's pocket, but how hard was it back then? Like you said, you came in the league in 2001. How hard was it to balance the long term holding out to try to get money, or just trying to take that security for your family? How hard was it back then when everything wasn't, hey, well, you slot here, this is what you get?
I mean, back in 90 or 91 when Scott, I think it was 90 when Scotty signed that contract, man, $18 million was a lot of money. His problem was he just signed for too long. He signed a 7-year contract, and he should have renegotiated that down. He probably could have got the same amount of money, just less years. But, you know, Scotty coming from, you know, rural Arkansas, you know, didn't come from much. Back in 1990, he wanted to take care of his mom and be able to do some things. But, you know, once he outplayed that contract, he got himself in a real, real bind. And, you know, eventually he made up for it. You know, I'm glad that the Bulls didn't trade him. You know, Scotty's legacy would have been totally different, you know, had the Bulls honored that trade request. I'm glad the Bulls didn't trade him. I'm glad he stayed strong and stayed with the Bulls and rode it out, because eventually it paid off for him. You know, he ended up, you know, having more NBA earnings than Michael Jordan. So, you know, but yeah, that was a tough contract, man. But again, you never know. Injuries, anything could happen. He was a young guy. Bulls did a good job of, you know, negotiating, you know, that type of contract with him, and it is what it is.
When you look back at that, though, isn't it crazy that I looked at the season after that was a strike season, and Steve, in my mind, and I cannot be convinced that if they would have let the Bulls come back one more year after that, there's no way a well-rested Jordan, a well-rested Pippen, a well-rested Rodman, and a 50-game season, the Knicks went to the finals with a lousy 8 seed. The Bulls, I think, would have won another title that year. Am I wrong in thinking that?
No, you're not wrong in thinking that. You know, it was just poor management. You know, they were such in a rush to blow that team up, and for what? To bring in Tim Floyd? To, you know, they've never been the same since. You know what I mean? Never been the same since.
No.
And it was just poor management, man. That team earned the right to play until they lost, to play until injuries caught up with Michael Jordan. Okay. You can't not come back, and Michael's coming off an MVP season. He led the league in scoring again. He won a championship game winning shot. No, let's not end it like that. Come back until someone beats them. They earned that right. And Jerry Krause and the management didn't give them that right. And I think the curse has been with them all these years, man. I was definitely disappointed as a kid to see it end. It shouldn't have ended so soon. And I think it could have been an even better transition into rebuilding, you know, if they had better management.
You know, it's kind of funny because it seems like ever since then, the word has been out and no free agent signed with the Bulls. No matter what they do, they can't get a free agent. And we both know how great of a city Chicago is. And players
say it,
but no one will sign with Chicago. Do you think that and I see the direction they've gone in now, they've got a new GM, a new VP of basketball operations. How much, though, will Reinsdorf have to almost say, I won't touch anything, I won't do anything to make guys want to sign in Chicago?
I mean, he has to, man. He has to give his power up and get somebody in there that knows what they're doing. And the problem is, you know, the front office just has no loyalty. I think even with the Derrick Rose situation, they could have handled that better. They didn't have to bring him back for the playoffs. They should have handled that better, because when you got a star and somebody to build around, guys want to come there. Carmelo Anthony was minutes away from signing with the Chicago Bulls, and I believe he heard some things about the front office that discouraged him. They had a chance when they had, like I say, Derrick Rose there. But then they get rid of all their core players. They get rid of all of the fan favorites, man. You know, Jimmy Butler. How you get rid of Jimmy? At least you can bring some guys in to surround Jimmy. But now you got these guys. You know, Zach LaVine is a great player, but he has no star appeal at this moment. You know, nobody's rushing to play with Zach LaVine, even though I love his game. They just make a bunch of bad decisions, man. So I think it's good that they got rid of their GM. I think they got rid of John Paxson too, if I'm correct. And just
reassigned him.
Reassigned. Okay, yeah. Get some guys in there, man. That's not with the you know good old boys nature, and somebody that's really about winning and bringing a star to Chicago and bringing free agents there, because so far they haven't been able to do it.
I'm the Kelly Lackey Lowline here on the Kane Show with PLR. My main man, Steve Hunter. Steve, the season this year, obviously March 11th, everything changed with COVID-19. Everything is up in the air. I'll give you my opinion, and then I'm going to ask you a couple questions. I don't think, from my perspective, the season is going to come back. I think it's too much craziness out there. You can't play in New York. the mayor and the governor have already said that L.A., you can't play in L.A. Chicago's a hot spot. New Orleans is a hot spot. Detroit's a hot spot. You're going to actually ask players to leave their families, get, you know, get quarantined basically in a hotel with a bunch of people that have to be quarantined as well. Honestly, I think it's best for everyone if we say, okay, look, you know what? It's a wrap. I mean, Steve Kerr basically said Golden State is treating it like the season's over. It's going to be tough. I mean, people are still constantly dying. How do you bring it back?
Man, it's sad, man. It's all messed up, man. You know, I really wanted to see the Lakers run at it. I think this was LeBron's best chance to get another championship. And now this thing happened. You know, everybody's just devastated. People don't know what to do. This is the first pandemic in, you know, probably everyone's lifetime who's still living. So, you know, this is new to everybody, and it's really, really, really unfortunate, especially for a guy like me. You know, I earn my living, my living today off gatherings, you know, off basketball camps, off of speaking appearances, off of Suns games and so forth. And now I'm just stuck at home, you know, waiting for us to gather again. So I'm nervous. Everybody's nervous about the future. And, you know, like I say, it's just very unfortunate. And, you know, as far as the season goes, yeah, you're right. I don't think it's going to start back because, you know, guys, at this point, we have to have another month of training camp, get guys revamped, and then try to play a season. But fans, everybody, you know, so soon, the next couple of months, they're not going to be comfortable being in an arena with 20,000 people. I know I'm not after all this uproar. So,
right.
You know, and then also to try to play games with no fans, I think the NBA is in for a rude awakening, a big surprise that they're going to get half the effort of these guys. It's going to water down the league. It's going to make things look silly. It's going to scare away, you know, guys who are, you know, fans who are just, you know, entering the NBA as fans, and they're going to be like, this is bull crap. You know, it goes hand in hand. You got to have fans, professional sports, to make it successful and make it fun to watch on TV. We're not going to watch a practice game, a scrimmage game, and get excited about that. You know, LeBron's not going to be excited. Nobody's going to be excited. Nobody's going to be up to play, and you're going to see a bad product on the floor. So, man, it's a wrap. Hang it up until this thing clears up and, you know, maybe resume this season, you know, next season, maybe in September if things open up fully. So, I don't know, Paul. It's just really, really unfortunate, man. I'm just hoping for the best, praying for the best.
I hear you, man. And, you know, I just what worries me is what happens if one player playing gets it. Then we got to shut everything all down all over again. And then we risk all these lives for nothing. So I think that's my key worry. If the season ends, we all have suffered. I mean, we all have. You know, as covering sports, you know, I earn my living covering sports. I can't go to a game. There's nothing that can be done. That's a wrap. And it's going to be a new face. I mean, are we going to be able to interview players the way we used to? Will there be locker rooms? Will there be everything on Zoom now? I mean, so the world is going to obviously change because of this. But I'm more worried about safety and guys getting hurt coming back. Because like you said, it's LeBron's. It's a good chance for LeBron, but also he's 35 years old now.
That's right,
not playing for a month. He has a gym. He has a ton of money. He's probably going to stay in some type of shape. I'm not knocking JaVale McGee. I'm sure JaVale McGee probably doesn't have a basketball court in his house. So what if he pulls a hammy or something like that happens?
Right.
So I think there's this thing with fans that think, oh, you play in a league, you're rich. No, you may be comfortable, but you don't have a house. I mean, not everyone has a house with a basketball court on the inside.
Nobody has that.
So there's a difference. In the summer, you go to the facility, you work out, you get your training. Now no one can do anything. And that's why I always laugh at some of the fans that say these crazy things. Like, well, they should just stay ready. Well, how? How do they just stay ready?
No, you can't. You can't simulate 5-on-5. Trust me, you can't simulate 5-on-5. And you can't simulate NBA intensity. You know, we go through hell during training camp to give fans what they want, and we're still not in shape until December. That's when guys really hitting their stride. You know what I mean? Because you notice even the first few regular season games are sloppy.
and then guys start hitting their stride in December, January. You know, so I mean, it just don't work like that when it comes to professional sports and performing at an optimum level that is amazing for people to see on television. But to answer your second part, you know, I believe things open back up. It may take 6 months, it may take 8 months, it may take 12 months, but this country was built on a handshake, a hug, meetings, gatherings. This is not going to be our new norm, you know, with Zoom and no fans in arena. No, we will find a vaccine. The coronavirus will be around forever, just like, you know, the flu is and a common cold and things like that, just something we are able to deal with. We will all have immunity towards it, and we'll all be fine. It's just right now things are uncomfortable, but the world will be the world again. It just depends on how long.
So when things get back to normal, I wanted to offer this. I have to do it on air, though, so that way I have a receipt for it. My White Sox are going to have a better record than your Cubs. And that's such a known fact, because David Ross may have been the anchor as a player, but we've never seen him manage a game. So, you know, I like the chances of my boys. So I wanted to bet you three cigars that my Sox will end up with a better record than those Cubs.
Oh, no. That definitely won't happen. I would gladly take that bet. Three cigars.
Three cigars.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah. And some Machiavelli.
You got it.
yeah,
we got it.
I'm serious.
Just hey, to
I would gladly
on that.
Take that bet.
All right,
what'd you say?
We're
what'd
about
you say,
to
Paul?
Come up. We're about right. to come up. This was going to be our year.
I hear you.
You
know? I hear you. I don't think so.
So when they trade Chris Bryant. And all the Cub fans are all all-star. You know, oh, man, they traded Chris Bryant. That's going to be a wrap right there. Oh, that means rebuild. So I just want to get that out there. So now we have it set. So when the season starts, whenever it ends, those White Sox can have a better record. And then I got a message for you. When PLR heard you were on the show today, he said, please make sure you tell him what's up. And he's still working in that driveway every day.
Oh, nice. Tell my man I said what's up. Keep them
working. I will do.
Also, Paul, right now I'm doing private training. I'm keeping our social distances up, but I'm doing one-on-one training with select clients. If you would like, if anybody out there has a kid that's serious about basketball who wants to learn a game from a pro like myself, I'll be coming to your house, or you can come at my private location. I have a private training location. You can go online and check it out. It's shbatraining.com. And you can sign your kids up for some private trainings and get them active while we're out on quarantine.
Cool. And you know what's really funny? The little one is starting to come up now, too. That's what's funny. He's got little brother syndrome. So, when he goes down by about 10, he's ready to fight rather than play. So, he's suffering from little brother syndrome. But the game is coming along pretty nice. So, but he said it was funny. He said, man, please tell him I said what's up, and let him know I'm still putting my work in. So, he's still working.
Yeah. Good, man. Keep him working. Yeah. Keep him working. We got to set up a scrimmage game sometime. You know, I got Hunter's Elite. We go from fourth grade to ninth grade right now. So let's get a scrimmage going.
Cool. Yo, man, I appreciate you. You know, I do, man. I really do. And I, like I said, anytime I send a text, you write back with me. So I appreciate that very much. Oh,
my man,
there's
anytime.
One thing I want to ask you real quick. Mike and Isaiah don't like each other. Now, we're all Chicagoans. Every Chicagoan love Isaiah. We all hate Detroit. But is there a problem with guys not liking each other? I keep hearing this. They should make up. Where I come from and over on Lawndale and Division, if you didn't like someone that you played basketball with, that was not a problem. Why is that all of a sudden a problem that everybody got to like each other? It's okay if they don't like each other,
Isn't it? Isaiah is the problem. And Isaiah been hating on Jordan from the beginning, since his rookie year. I don't know if you know it or not, but, Mike made it to the All-Star game, and Isaiah got with all the other guys and freezed them out because they didn't like all the attention that Michael Jordan was getting at such a young age. And he's always been hating at Mike. He's calling these interviews now, you know, bashing Mike, talking about Mike kept me off the dream team and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, Isaiah's a great player. I respect him. He's a Chicago native. But, man, his disdain toward my Chicago Bulls and Michael Jordan, my idol, man, I just can't get down with, man, because he's a hater. He is a big-time hater, bro. Seriously. He's a hater. You can just look at him. You can just listen to him. And just the narrative he has against the Bulls and Michael Jordan especially, man, it's, you know, he won't get up their respect. You know, so he keeps changing the story, you know, so about, you know, when they walked off and things like that, walked off the court without signing, shaking the Bulls' hands and all this. But like I said, I respect Isaiah, but dude, stop hating. Just quit hating, man. Quit hating on Big Mike.
Yeah,
stop.
Yeah, he called Mike the fourth best player to ever play the game the other day. I thought that was so comical. It didn't even need a response.
It's comical. It's comical. I don't listen to Isaiah. So yeah, I got a problem with Isaiah. He's a hater, and I see it. So no, I ain't going for it.
I'm with you. Hey, give everyone that you're training info one more time before we jump off.
All right, the private training info. The website is shbatraining.com. You can click on programs, scroll down to private training. Sign your kid up for some trainings. If you have a hoop in your backyard with some space, I'll come over and train on myself. Or I have a private location here in Queen Creek, Arizona. So we keep the numbers to a minimum, one or two people at the most around each other. I wear a mask, and we'll stay as safe as possible. But if you want to get them better during this quarantine and, in shape and give them something to do, sign them up for some private trainings. I'll help you out.
Cool. See, I appreciate it. And like I said, when the stuff clears up, we got to have a cigar together no matter what. And then later on down the line, I'll take those three with that cognac right after these White Sox do what they do.
Let's do it. We'll get to it. We got a bet, baby. Yes.
All right, bro. Thank you, man. Take care of the family, man. I'm glad y'all are good, all right?
All right. Thanks for having me. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
I'll talk to you soon. Yep. That's my man there, Stephen Hunter. I bring on the ones that know, and he's going to know. I'm going to open the phone lines up, everyone, here in a second, here on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. We're going to open these phones up. Give me about 15 seconds, and I'll get this first caller in. Appreciate your patience. I've seen callers come on, drop off. I got a couple still coming on, hanging on for me, so bear with me. Give me 30 seconds, and we'll get right to you.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Welcome back to the KSO with PLR. This is PLR, and that was that you just heard on the line. Stephen Hunter, 10-year NBA veteran, former NBA veteran, breaking down, talked about the season, talked about The Last Dance, talked about Michael and Isaiah. I will definitely have this up for replay as soon as possible. And you know you can check us out every day at 3 o'clock as well on KSRN. Get the full replay of The Cave Show with PLR. But like I promised, let's open up these phone lines, 917-889-7828. This is The Cave Show. This is PLR. What's going on?
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Lou, what's up, my friend?
All right. Well, you know, it's one thing, you know, not to like somebody, but it's another thing when you start dissing them. You know, and that's
very
what,
true.
You know, and that's what I think has been going on, you know, between these two. I mean, the rivalry started all the way back 30 years ago, and yet they're still going nuts about it. They're still going at each other's throats.
And you know what, though? Here's the thing. I don't mind guys. When they don't like each other. I'm just curious because I've always been a fan of Isaiah Thomas. Always have.
Yeah.
I mean, he grew up in Chicago. He's a West Side guy. West Side success story. Won two NBA titles, an NBA Finals MVP. I mean, Hall of Famer, top 50, all this. But I don't understand. Just because the show is out, let's not redo history. You guys don't like each other. It's cool, but certain things. I mean, Michael Jordan is not the fourth greatest basketball player to ever play. I mean, let's just be honest. So things like that, that then seems petty, and I'm all for petty. Don't get me wrong, I'm all for petty. Petty's good, but sometimes it's like, you know, just say you don't like him. And just say it's no big deal. You may as well.
One thing to say that, but to completely trash talk someone like that and just disrespect somebody like that's not right. Even for Jordan, that's not right.
There are guys back in the day that would say stuff about Larry Bird. And I would always say, you can say what you want. I'm not a fan of Boston. But if you say Larry Bird can't play, you're an idiot. Because Larry Bird is a baller. So that's it's certain things. You know, it's like, yeah, you can say it. But when you say someone sucks and they're one of the best to ever play, to me, you kind of, you're killing your own credibility.
A bit out there.
I don't know if you saw this, but NASCAR is coming back. Darlington. People in the stands.
May 24th.
What are your thoughts?
Well, kind of touching going that. I mean, it's great to see that, you know, that they're going to get back into racing like they said they would for the Coca-Cola 600 and whatnot. So, yeah, that's great for racing. But at the same time, you know, cars coming and colliding each other at this time, I'm a little skeptic about that. And yet they won't let the NBA in.
Well, here's the thing. If there's a sport that I think they can pull it off without fans, it's possibly NASCAR. Because let me ask this. As Steve and I was just saying, it's hard in the NBA to play without fans. It's hard to play without getting that boost, that
right.
extra adrenaline rush. When you're racing, I don't know if you've ever been to NASCAR. I have.
They don't come around here.
It is so loud. I mean, the cars are so loud. So I'm wondering, and I would love that. You know what? I'm going to get a NASCAR racer on and ask them about, do they feel the fans when they're racing? Do they get that feeling? Because if not, then they can bring it back because they really only have to come in contact with their pit crew. So if they're just racing and they're inside the car, is there any difference? And I don't mean skill-wise before NASCAR people get on my back.
Right.
But is there any difference in them driving and racing or me getting in my car to go to the store? So.
Well, you're not going at 120 miles an hour.
I understand that, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in terms of safety. Like, they're not coming in contact with anyone. They're safely within their car. So if any sport can come back, and I know we talked about tennis and how baseball might – if any sport can come back, NASCAR should be able to pull it off without fans.
I still think baseball would because, you know, the pitcher's mound and the batter are, you know, within reasonable distance, and that would make the most logical sense.
Yeah. Little League World Series canceled.
Oh, boy.
For the first time since 1947. Which makes total sense. No one's going to let their kids go out there.
Of course not.
Andy Dalton is about to be cut.
Thank God.
By the Bengals.
And about
so we know Joe Burrow. Yeah, we know. So that we know Joe Burrow is the guy now. There's no ifs, ands, or buts.
Yeah, I mean Dalton. Yeah, I'm glad he's gone. Just don't send him over to our side because it'll just make it worse.
You know, Lou, I don't know if you heard it earlier. Excuse me, I wasn't able to hit the cough button quick enough. I don't know if you heard it earlier, but I said.
Still there?
Yeah, I said.
Okay.
I guess I did get to the cough button quick enough. I said there are six quarterbacks in the NFL that are elite. Two of them are under 35. The rest of them are on the other side. Of 35 years old. So when I'm looking at the league, if there's 32 teams, six teams have an elite quarterback. 26 don't. But when I hear these guys say, well, this guy's got to be blown out because he's average, or this guy's not good enough to get him over the hump, or this guy's not this. If there's only six, what do you expect?
No, it's few and far between. That's all I can say.
I just think it's funny when I hear blowhards on TV talk about what guys need to do and how they need to get better, but they played in the NFL and they were backups. It's like, if you knew what they needed, how come you didn't know what you needed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, only 6 out of 32.
Six out of 32, and four of them are on the wrong side of 35.
Wow.
So I don't think there's, you know, it is what it is. I'll leave it.
Yes.
But yes, that's what I have, man. What do you have for me before I got to let
well,
you go?
Well, the Bears have signed a one-year deal with Ted Ginn, so that'll make my brother happy.
Ah, he's old, but he can still run fast.
Yeah. Well, anytime someone can come to the Bears, my brother will be very happy about that. So I thought I'd bring that up.
Yeah, well, he could join our 10 tight ends because the Bears now have 10 tight ends on the roster.
That's a bit much.
There that is. Yeah, there that is.
That's a bit much.
So,
and,
yeah, that's
fun. Yeah. And just we thought we saw the end of it. Well, we got another virtual tournament coming up, and it's in tennis. Oh, boy. Yeah.
Again,
before
with
Maria Sharapova and Serena. It's going to be called the stay-at-home slam event. Just even though we had enough as virtual, we got more.
Yeah. If I'm going to watch
I know.
I'll watch my kids.
Right.
Said it before,
right. Well,
say it again.
Hopefully, I'll have more better news tomorrow.
I know, huh? I feel you, my man.
Yeah. Because I don't think you're going to see anything for a long time.
Yeah, well, let's see. Let's keep watching. Our state was one of the states that did not open up completely.
Right.
So we'll see. You know, we're on a waiting seat until the 15th. No restaurants, no bars. Well, let me rephrase it. Restaurants can still be open for takeout.
Right.
No bars, no clubs, none of that, nothing for sit-in. So we're on wait-and-see mode, my friend.
Yeah, May 1st is tomorrow. They did open up parks in this state, though, but, it's a small step.
Yeah, and you know what? There's a couple parks that are open for you to run or jog or do that. You cannot play basketball or use, like, the grills or anything like that because of the proximity to each other.
Right.
So that's it. We just got to be patient.
All right, we'll talk tomorrow.
All right, buddy. We will definitely talk soon. Always good to catch up with my buddy. Lou likes to check in. I love it when he checks in. All righty. Well, I don't know what else I have to give you today. I do know this. I promise you I will get a NASCAR racer on, and we will talk about how important are the fans to racing. I want to know, especially with this coming back. It's sad that there will not be Little League baseball in terms of the World Series, but I have kids, man. I'm not rolling them out there. Not right now. Definitely not going to happen. Make sure you are following us at the Sports Cave on the Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And that's always with the K, thesportscave.com. That's with the K. You can get me directly on the Twitter at PLR on Sports. Check it out. A lot of good stuff that goes on there. And you also can get the interviews. I don't do all the live shows, but I put up the interviews. So if you miss an interview with someone, definitely feel free to go to thesportscave.com and check them out. On the podcast last night, make sure you check my Twitter timeline for that. And tomorrow we'll be back. It's Friday. We're going to wrap up the week. We're going to have a lot of fun with that. all that's done right here on the K Show with PLR. Enjoy the rest of your Friday, Eve. Be safe. Please be safe. Until there's something out there that's telling us that we shouldn't be, make sure you know exactly what you're doing. Keep those gloves on. Keep that mask on. And take care of one another. This has been the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR.